If cigarettes were good for anything, it was for this, Nomori thought. His left arm was curled around Ming, his body snuggled up against her. Then he was surprised to see Ming reach into her purse and pull out one of her own. I didn't know you smoked.
At the office, everyone does.
Even the minister?
Especially the minister.
So what does he talk about?
What do you mean?
The late work that kept you away from here.
Oh, talk between the ministers. He keeps an extensive personal political diary in case the president might want to oust him. That is his defense, you see. I transcribe all his notes. Sometimes it can take forever.
On your computer, of course.
Yes. Oh, it's encrypted. I select the file I wish to open and type in the decryption key. Do you want to know what key I use?
She giggled.
Yellow Submarine. In English, because of the keyboard, it was before your new software, and it's from a Beatles song I heard once.
The encryption key. Nomori tried to hide his excitement. Well, it must be a lot of folders.
Over 400 documents.
Holy shit, Nomori thought. This makes a gold mine look like a toxic waste dump.
It must be fascinating to see such information, to really know what's going on in your country, Nomori gushed.
In Japan, we never know what the Tsaibatsu and the MITI people are doing, ruining the economy for the most part, the fools. Is it the same here?
Of course. They've become the new emperors. Perhaps a woman could use such power without being corrupted, but not a man.
A kiss this time, a nice lingering one. He was so close. With the right software, he could go snooping around her hard drive, and with the encryption key, he could lift things right off and crossload them right to Mary Pat's desk.
Damn. There is something I want you to do. What might that be?
She asked, while her hand wandered a little. Not that.
Oh.
The disappointment in her voice was noteworthy. Something for work.
For work?
Yes. Something to upload onto your computer. Nomori reached into the night table drawer and pulled out a CD-ROM.
Here, you just load this into your machine, click install, and then dispose of it when you're done. And what will it do?
Do you care?
Well, I must care.
It will allow me to look at your computer from time to time.
But why?
Because of Nippon Electric. We make your computer. Don't you see? It's useful for my company to know how economic decisions are made in the People's Republic. This will allow us to understand that process a little better so that we can do business more effectively. And the better I do for them, the more they will pay me, and the more I can spend on my darling Ming.
I see,
she thought wrongly.
No one will know?
No, that is not possible.
And it will not get me into trouble?
Would I ever do something to get Ming Chan in trouble? Never, he announced, with a deep and passionate kiss. Afterward, there was no talk about the CD-ROM, which she tucked into her purse before leaving.
Good luck, honey,
Nomori whispered as he closed the door and headed to the bathroom for a shower. It was a sleepless night for Nomori. Would she do it? Would she tell a security officer about it and then about him? Might she be caught with the CD-ROM? A casual inspection would show it to be a music CD. But a more careful examination would have revealed that the outermost data line on the metallic surface told the CD-ROM reader to skip to a certain place where the content was binary code. On being read by the CD-ROM reader, a single prompt came up on the screen. And Ming, after a quick look around in her office, clicked the install command, and everything immediately disappeared. The program thus implanted searched her hard drive at nearly the speed of light, categorizing every file and setting up its own index, then compressing it into a small file that hid in plain sight, identified by any disk sorting program with a wholly innocent name that referred to a function carried out by another program entirely. Thus, only a very careful and directed search by a skilled computer operator could even detect that something was even there. It would be like trying to find what was wrong with a single leaf on a single tree in a vast forest where all the trees and all the leaves looked pretty much alike, except that this one leaf was smaller and humbler than most. Ming finished the installation and ejected the disk, discarding it into her waste can. Nothing really happened for some hours. All that changed at 7:45 p.m. By this time, Ming was at her own home.
Ming had to do some things with her roommate to avoid too much suspicion. Her NEC desktop computer had long since gone into auto-sleep mode, leaving the monitor screen dark. Immediately upon installation, the Ghost Program, as it had been christened, had buried itself in a special niche in the NEC's operating system. The NEC desktop machines had built-in high-speed modems. The Ghost activated these, but also turned off their internal mini-speakers so that no evidence of the transmission would be heard by anyone. The computer then dialed Chester Nomori's very high-end laptop. Nomori was watching TV. The beep made him turn his head. Yes, the CIA officer exulted. Yes, he had his agent in fucking place, and here was the take from Operation Sorgi. Fuck, Nomori breathed on seeing the size of the download. He lit up a program of his own and sent off a lengthy email to a destination called patsbakery@brownienet.com. The BrownieNet was putatively a network established for bakeries and bakers, professional and amateur, who liked to swap recipes. In fact, Mary Patricia Foley had posted her own highly satisfactory recipe for French apple pie. It was morning when Nomori uploaded his email to Pat's Bakery. You've got mail, the computer said when MP switched on her internet mail service. She keyed the download command and saw the originator was cgood@jadecastle.com. The username was from Gunsmoke. Mr. Marshall Dillon's crippled sidekick had been named Chester Good. Downloading, the prompt box on the screen said. It also gave an estimate for how long the download would take. 47 minutes. Son of a bitch, the DDO breathed and lifted her phone. She pressed a button. Ed, who's the best guy we have for China? Joshua Sears, PhD, runs the China desk in the DI. Mary Pat punched the button for her secretary. Dr. Joshua Sears, DI, Chinese section. Please ask him to come see me right away. That took 6 endless minutes. It took rather a lot to make Mary Patricia Kaminsky Foley shiver, but this was one such occasion. On her screen was the ability to read the minds of adversaries. It was a sort of thing that altered history, and in that was the value of espionage, because the fates of nations really did ride on such things. And therefore the fates of nations rode on Chet Nomori's schwanz, and how well he used it, Mrs. Foley reflected. What a crazy fucking world it was.